October 29th, 2020, Town Board Workshop on the proposed solar law, 5:30 p.m. I'm all set.
Computer audio. Joining. It's recording. Okay, looks like we're on, everybody.
Alright, so as a council member, I'm going to take this seat, we'll get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to a town board workshop regarding the proposed solar law for the town of Monroe. We have a full contingent of board members. We also have town attorney, Father Bittner, with us, and we have the deputy town clerk who's recording for us tonight. What I'd like to do is, set an hour of time to work on this tonight. Hopefully, we can move forward through the process to keep pushing this process along. Board members should have received, I don't know if you have a hard copy of some correspondence from the town attorney that was produced later this afternoon. I do have copies for the board. Did everybody get a copy of the... I know you got a copy, but I don't know if you have a copy. The thoughtful one here? Or?
Yeah.
Well, it's the basically all the correspondence that has taken place between town attorney and board members. It's a 20-client privileged document. It should have the minutes from the last board meeting.
We have a copy here.
Yeah,
you got it. Scott, I'm with this and test draft down here.
Yeah, the only thing you may not have, because I just received a little while ago, is one more page, which is a overview of what we had discussed, where we would like to have or permit various types of solar. I'll run through that. Like the tier one ground mounted, we left off with it being considered for R3, R4, R5, C1, CC1, C2, C3, M1, M2. Then the Tier 1 roof-mounted would be permitted in all zoning districts. And finally, Tier 2 large-scale ground-mounted, we're considering R5, M1, and M2. Where we left off at the last meeting, I think we were all agreeing that we would not like to permit any size solar in the RP and UR zone areas. I do have a copy of the zoning for the town row behind me for reference if anybody has any questions on what those particular zones are. Carl, would you like to continue through the agenda that we've done before, or would you like to flesh out where you think you'd like us to be at the end of the night's meeting?
I'd like to do the latter.
Okay. That would be great.
The main issues that you folks were dealing with was the Tier 1, Tier 2, ground-mounted, or roof-mounted at large scale. You decided that last time. You reimagined the definition. You switched it from small scale and large scale to the tiers that are in the model. So you have it. I changed that in there. The only thing in that you did not discuss was in the definition, there's a section that talks about, and if you have it in front of you, this will be easier. It's the definition of solar energy system, and it's the Tier 2. There was a lot of talk last time about what that meant, whether it was going to be how you were going to define it, whether it was going to be a percentage of the property or if it was going to be a megawatt, how you were going to say what it was. So if you look at B under solar energy system, you'll see there are blanks there. That's something that you have not decided yet. So
sorry,
I think that I'm in the definition. That's
yep.
The one attachment that you got today.
Yep. Under B? Tier.
The one you got today. Yes. If you look under solar energy system, it's on the third page. good?
I'm back.
Okay. You look down. This is the definition you decided to include at the last meeting. The only thing you did not decide was, if you look at B, it says Tier 2 solar energy systems. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Include ground-mounted solar energy systems with a total blank surface area of all solar panels up to so much square feet, and that generate up to so much electricity. You did not put numbers in there. You went back and forth as to whether you were going to do it either just surface area, or the surface area plus an output, or surface or just the output, and that was not decided the last time. Under the model law, it states tier two, it has a system capacity up to 25 kilowatts, and that generate no more than 110% of the electricity consumed on the site over the previous 12 months. Or there's another one, which is the one you adopted, which is total surface area on the lot up to 4,000 square feet, and that generate up to 110% of the electricity. That's that 4,110% you didn't agree on. You didn't tell me what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I'd like to get to tonight. And just to kind of move, the next thing I think the board should determine is where you want the solar. The supervisor said, this is what it is in the proposed draft, this is where we want it. There was some back and forth last time, and a review of the minutes showed that there was no consensus at the end. I think those are your two big issues. Once you have those two issues done, then I would, if we have time, if you can look, we can look at the actual specifications that you have in there for the tiered systems, the height requirements, the fencing, things of that. Those really are the main, all that's remaining in the solar law that has not been determined. There was some votes on one, some votes on another, so that's something we need to discuss. If you can get through all that tonight, good job.
All right, well, we will do our best. So, following up on the town attorney's comments, at least as it relates to large scale, I thought about this a lot, and I think that probably the fairest way basically define what shall be acceptable and what shall not is probably not percentage. You know, maybe we should focus on the total generation capacity, and maybe tied in with surface area of glass, because with different land homeowners having different percentages. Ability to have larger facilities with larger holdings with the same amount of percentages. I think it levels the playing field across our landowners if we're looking at a flat number for generation. Obviously, we should have provisions in there that relate to setbacks and things like that. Views from the road. That might be a more fair way of doing it, I guess. So the question would be, what number should we be looking at for that? And, I'm open to any suggestions at this point.
So generating capacity as opposed to percentage of land.
Yes.
That's a lot different than I think that I'm thinking about. Is this a discussion we're going to have right now, or do we want to discuss the?
No, I think you should have that
tier
right
two
now.
First. But no.
No, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about tier two.
I'm talking about
tier two. Oh, I thought you were talking about large scale. But isn't tier two?
Tier two is large scale.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought.
Tier one is roof mounted and small scale.
I guess I was looking at. Okay, sorry.
Well, do you want to? I don't care where we start, but.
Oh. Well, I don't. I mean, so I have in my notes that I marked up the nicer to walk here a little bit. And I ran, so sorry for the confusion on that piece there, but just doing a lot of numbers, you know, 4,000 square feet, I guess it, you know, it's, you can configure a lot of different plots to get 4,000 square feet, like right? 50 feet by 80 feet, is that 4,000 square feet? 200 feet by 20 feet, that's 4,000 square feet. 30 feet by 130 feet, I don't know if I'm looking at it that long, but those, all those things are 4,000 square feet. Then the notes I wrote here is I wrote 25 kW and 110, which is what they used in their example up top. I noticed those numbers seem to be something that it looks like they could just delete and put something else in very quickly, very easily. I don't know how big a system like that actually is. Like, I don't know how 25 kW is.
Well, I can tell you if it's 25, it's getting picked up to an Article 10 siting.
That's a megawatt, not a kilowatt.
So, I'm sorry. 25 kW
is a
lot smaller. Yeah. I mean, if you're at 4,000 square foot, a 50 foot by 80 foot, I'm thinking that this is just me thinking out loud. This is not me pushing anything out from my own personal belief here. I'm thinking of 4,000 square foot array will be able to produce 25 kW. I mean, if that's nicer, give us those numbers. So I guess I'm just open to hearing others' thoughts on how it'd be better to go with generating size as opposed to square footage on the ground. I don't know.
As far as size, and I wonder when solar panels become more efficient, if the size of them could actually shrink. I'm wondering what size we actually have out here on this property. And, you know, what's that square footage on that?
You know? Oh, I couldn't tell you what that square footage is on that. I hope we can find out.
And or what the system might actually be able to produce. You know, it's kind of like to throw a number in here as far as the size that we would be limited to or wouldn't be able to. I think I sort of thrown out there 110% of that previous 12 months for usage. So the idea was that you can't produce, you know, more than this, and this is what you allow. I'm wondering why we couldn't go along with that percentage as far as this system of standing unit. But I'm also wondering, I just was looking over your email this afternoon about, it looks like we have tier one roof mounted, tier one ground mounted, and then tier two, which encompasses any other ground mounted.
No, I think we're
tier two. That's what I want to know.
I think we have and suggested that we have tier one, which is encompassing the roof mounted solar and ground building integrated solar.
Mm-hmm.
Tier two is going to be for ground mounted solar, but those are generally of the smaller size. And an example that Carla gave, you know, up to 25 kilowatts, that's a much smaller a piece of solar park. And then the third is the much larger one, anything above whatever those levels we established. That's what we were talking about. So this isn't this what we're talking about right now is that one that might end up in somebody's backyard, maybe not in a side yard of somebody's farm or rural property. This is not the large scale, and correct me if I'm
wrong. You're right.
This is not the large scale that we're talking about, a 5 megawatt that somebody wants to put out on will be probably 30 or 40 acres. So
well,
we're talking
be a farm. That's what they call it.
So we're talking about that one in the middle right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that said, thinking about that, why wouldn't we keep it to whatever the percentage could be?
Would be 10.
For
I was more directed my comments toward large.
Okay, and I'm thinking that more for like that house or business that wants to put a system on to help support the electricity that they're using. So leave it at that 110% that I sort of use it to.
Well,
versus putting in a size of, we wanted 44,000 square feet.
Well, you can do both. You can do a percentage not to exceed the square footage.
The one thing I'd like to point out, and certainly may have a different opinion than others, but just because we say they could put up to 4,000 but not exceed more than 110% doesn't mean that anybody could do that, because we have other language in the law that I actually think is more important, and that's about visibility, and it's about setbacks. And so the rest of the law can be considered if we're fearful of 4,000. If you have a landowner that wants to put 4,000 square foot at the maximum we would allow under this category, but that they want to do it on a 100-acre farm, it becomes a problem if you don't take the whole law into consideration. That's my opinion. So on the topic of just this group in the middle, this tier two solar, I like using one of the two suggested model laws. Last meeting, last workshop, we had chosen tier two. We chose the second option, the one that Carla has in this document here.
But you had done it specifically of all solar panels. It was a it wasn't the low, the model law is up to square feet. Total surface area of all solar panels on the lot up to 7 square feet. And that's how we have a total surface area of so much square feet. So I need to know the square feet you want. You want to do 4,000 square feet? You do 4,000 square feet. And then 110%. You can always change it, but you have to change the law. But I mean, for right now, I mean, if you want to put that in there to move on to the next one, just so there's something in there. And you remember that this is going to go through the public, too. So there might be other people that have different comments on percentages. People that may be a lot smarter than I am.
And I guess my thought, sorry to jump in, but if this, that 4,000 number is in the NYSERDA law, I know a lot of towns have probably used that, the NYSERDA law. I guess 4,000 in there for a reason. It's not too, probably considered not too big, but it's also something where people would go forward with a project of that size because there is some benefit, and it can get them up to 110% of the electricity consumed on the site over the last 12 months. So
I'd be okay if you're saying 4,000 at 100, up to 110%. Is that what you're suggesting?
I think so.
I mean, I'm okay with that.
Come on with that.
I'm okay with it, especially with the element added about the other parts of the law protect us as far as screening and setbacks and stuff like that. But give us something else on the.
I mean, that's my perspective. I certainly challenge any other board member if I'm looking at it wrong. I want to make sure I'm looking at it from all perspectives. So, to your concern, John, if you have some reason why at 4,000 at 110%, I mean, please share it.
No, I haven't. No, other than I'm not so sure that what I can think about a business, if I want to put in something that can support just a business, that they might need more than 4,000 square feet. But I also, think about they might be able to put on a roof, which we're not really limited. So with that in mind, I'm okay with it. And if they need to change it, I'm sure there's avenues that they can ask for relief on that. So it's probably the number.
So what I'm hearing is for now, to keep us in the middle of pencil and 4,000. Solar panels on a lot of up to 4,000 square feet. Am I reading that right? Or are you looking for total surface area of solar panels?
That's what I have.
All right, so total 4,000 square feet of the total surface area of glass on a lot of up to what size? Do we want to put anything in there or leave that out?
I personally don't think that should be a variable because we're going to achieve all of our goals with the law in its totality. That doesn't mean that that's just my first
paragraph. So we will with a total surface
area. I have it, the total surface area of all solar panels on the lot of up to 4,000 square feet and that generate up to 110% of the electricity consumed.
Okay. Everybody okay for now?
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. And this, just to keep us moving. And just a council member, Hogan, asked for an example so that we can visualize what we're talking about on large scale. So if you were to take the closed landfill and put a solar array out there that, you know, covered most of it, you're looking about a 6 megawatt facility on about 40 acres. Yeah. So just for a point of reference, that's what kind of acreage you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
But in this case, in this section, we're talking kilowatts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so are we good at A, B, and C?
We're on C.
Oh, sorry, it's A, B.
Well, C is nothing. C is just Tier 3 solar energy systems that are not included in Tier 1 and Tier 2.
It's everything else.
Everything else. Everything above 4,000 square feet is everything else.
All right, so then the next point for discussion.
The zone. Where do you want it?
And I know I read it off at the beginning of the meeting. Based on the last conversation we had as a group, and the third question is again for everybody who wants to write it down. So Tier 1 ground mount that I'm going to the category.
I'm hoping that already
got it.
Email that.
Yeah, I can pull it up.
So essentially, so Tier 1 ground mounted, as we've discussed at this point in time, would be permitted in the R3. R4, R5, and after everybody's, this is R3 in purple, this is R5 all the green, and R4. R4 is the pink area over here, of course, in the town. And we also include C1, which is commercial 1, which is blue, dark blue. And this is the commercial area on Route 9. I think at the last meeting, we were in agreement that we did not want to allow that in the C1.
I think that was when we had it defined differently. I'll give you a perspective. Right now, we're just talking about roof mounting and building integrated. Correct.
Oh, right.
Roof mounted is everywhere.
Roof
mounted is
building
integrated.
So that's Tier 1.
Right. So this is why I was confused by your email when you're listing out Tier 1 ground mounted, Tier 1 roof mounted.
Right. That was a typo.
Okay. Well, this is why I'm a little confused by that. So, you know, I was thinking Tier 1 is essentially roof mounted,
building
integrated. So, you know,
right.
Put the inside of the building, put the top of the building.
Well, again, just the only overlying variable I remind everybody of, later in the law, we define the criteria around visibility and height and stuff of that. So, but yes.
Okay. And then, Tier 2 is considered the ground mounted systems.
Right. And then when it says Tier 2 large scale wrap, that's Tier 3.
That's Tier 3.
Right.
Okay. That's
on me.
All right.
I want
to. That's fine. But I just wanted to be clear so that we were talking about the same thing. And I'm looking at your email thinking it's not
so
clear about
it. So the most recent email is so
it should say Tier 2.
For where?
Which is for ground mount. Which is Tier 1 ground mount. That should say Tier 2.
Okay. All right. Tier 2 is roof mounted and.
Tier 2 ground mounted from R3 to M2. Because you folks had, you had,
yep,
had small scale or large scale.
Yep.
Then it's Tier 1 roof mounted. That's everywhere.
Yep.
And then that should say Tier 3. Or it says Tier 2. That's
Got it.
All right.
Okay. That's where I was confused.
That's where I was confused.
So the areas that I just indicated were for all ground mounted structures. which I just read about through R3 through M2, and which I pointed out in that. So they would be permissible in the dark blue, which is a C1. Correct.
Correct.
Everybody okay with that?
Let's restate. Okay. You're talking about roof mounted and building integrated?
No.
Ground
with lights. So
roof mounted and building integrated are everywhere.
Gotcha. Now we're talking
ground mounted,
which we just defined,
is R3 through M2.
R3 through M2.
What large scale ground mounted, which is what how it's defined right now in your code, is tier 3. That's R5, M1, M2.
Okay, so sticking with tier 2. R3 through M2.
Two. If you're looking at the emails, the first list.
So basically what we're eliminating there is the R1, R2 districts, as well as UR and
R3. Right.
R1
and R2.
Well, she left
that
on my
desk. Except for
roof mounted. That's exactly what I got on my desk.
And that's why I want to talk about it, because you all have different ideas, so you need to know where we're going to be.
So what are we on right now? Tier 2?
Yes.
Tier 2, ground mounted.
R3 through M2. That excludes just then?
Four districts. R1, R2, UR, and R3.
I'm fine with that myself.
Okay. Are you here or are you there?
Yeah, you ready for me?
I don't know. I'm
so, I'm sorry.
That was part of the reason for, you know, the maximum size. I'm thinking it's probably going to be okay in those districts.
That's up to you.
I'm just voicing it.
Can we just review for me to make sure that something, what R1 and R2 encompass what area?
R1 is right here. That's residential. No, village actually is where it crosses over into white. So R1
we is. So we don't impact the village. Okay.
So this is R1 right here. The orange. It's right here. And then, of course, R2 is the yellowish. What's that? This area is here?
C3 and then.
C3 is the purple, C1 is the blue. I mean, I raised the question about C3 being essentially right in the middle of R1.
No.
Need a huge lot, so that was my.
So C3 is included in the tier 2.
But I know last time I thought we discussed.
You want to pull it out?
We want to, well, I thought we maybe didn't agree on it. We had talked about the C. 3 and then ultimately the C1 as the fact that that's going to be a commercial corridor at some point, you know, hopefully very soon. And I know part of the discussion was removing it from C1 to C3. C3, considering it's a sliver in the middle of a densely high density residential.
Right. So basically, it's just past Merritt Road as you're headed north. So Merritt Road all the way up to the village line, on both sides of the road, is C3. And then right up here is a little bit of C2 in there. So the question is, I think for us,
that C2 is crazy right there, because there's a house there.
Yeah.
There's a diner that's there. And
So the question is, do you want them to be removed from the Tier 2 classification or leave them in? Now, remember that the definition or ground mounted is a solar system that is anchored to the ground, attached to a pole or other mounting system, detached from any other structure for the primary purpose of producing electricity on site.
But that's the one we're talking about, up to 4,000 square feet.
Well, it meets the criteria. So I'm a little concerned now that I better understand R1 and R2. So if we leave R1 out and you have a home in R1 and you want to put a small solar panel in your backyard to supplement your electricity, and you can shield it and meet all the other criteria that our law requires, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Correct. But you can roof mount it. So the option's there. I don't know how you could meet all the shielding requirements in neighborhoods that close. You can't do it. I mean, you can barely put a shed in a neighborhood up there because you're close to the lot lines.
Well, based on this, couldn't they put a solar panel on a shed?
Because it's roof mounted?
Because it's roof mounted.
So we haven't determined which roof you're mounting it on?
Essentially.
So I think we should define that at some point.
I don't have a problem with putting a solar panel on a shed roof. But, when you think about it, it's kind of like...
They would be other requirements, though, too, right?
Sure.
And then I couldn't even imagine without an engineer the size of a solar panel you can put on a shed to get... Are we sticking to that 18-inch closed cap and all that stuff?
See what you put in there. That was just an aesthetic issue. I think that's one of the things we were going to discuss. To your point, though, Kyle, the definition's already in there as what a roof-mounted solar system is.
Okay.
The existing roof of any legally permitted principal or accessory building. So that would be a shed. You can do a house or a shed.
So basically this would prohibit any ground mounted, but
right.
you could put it on any roof.
Right.
Which, you know, if the roof is already there, it's from an aesthetic standpoint, it's not good.
Which would be better to have it on one structure than have it on one structure and another one next to it. So, yeah, I guess I can see that.
So you're okay with leaving R1 and R2 out?
Well, R1 and R2 are somewhat different. I mean, yeah. R1 I certainly agree with. All right, R2, some of those properties are much larger in size, although there's some...
So R2 is the goal. So here's it's a big portion of town. So this is off of a commercial corridor. This is all R2 down through here. This is 197. Actually comes down here a little bit to the southern side of 197. It's also across Route 9 following the river, all the way around underneath the Northway over to this whole area here.
Yeah, I'm struggling at that. I'll just be more. I'm struggling with limiting it out of R2.
Okay.
Again, if they can meet the other criteria established in the law, then we are protecting the interest of the other residents. You know, it comes to line of sight and setbacks and those things. We're talking about
the shrubbery. So that's everybody. That's here. They just undecided. Yeah, I mean. I think this is where we can talk about it now and the public come in and give us their opinions on it. I think that's the most important. I mean, we represent them, right? We represent the public. So if we... Because I can't... I mean, I'm a fan of no ground mounted in R1 and R2 for sure. But we need to get people live there too.
Well, so I'm thinking about the R2 now. Are we talking about those down by Snowberry?
Snowberry is... Yes.
Between 197 and Snowberry, there is a ground mounted system out there already that, you know, I've seen. It's set up behind the house. It doesn't really seem to have any major impact. I don't know why we want to be able to allow it for others.
Well, you could allow it and assign a minimum acreage with it. You know, if you get more than 2 acres or something, I don't know. I mean, I think to Kyle's point, correct me if I'm wrong, is you know, where you don't have room for it, or you have neighbors that are backed up, even though they have lots of acres, that, you know, he's concerned that you could have an array right on the property line, right next to the house next door, right?
The public rest of the law won't allow that to happen if we write the whole law, right?
Okay.
I mean, I live in that particular area. I don't have any desire to put solar for the record, but I would never meet the criteria that we have in the draft because I don't have enough shielding on my property.
Right.
I sit with neighbors on all four sides, and I'd never meet the criteria, so I'd have to go move now if I wanted to personally,
right.
Using it as an example.
Well, I mean,
and I wouldn't want my neighbors on the other three sides not to single them out to be able to do this.
Right. And that's the law, right? And that's what we want to faith, and that's what we want to trust. The law is there, and then we'll go in front of zoning or planning, right? Zoning if someone wants something different.
Zoning for a variance is the planning law. They'd have to go to planning law besides that.
We may have to have faith that our boards are aware of how we wrote the law.
Well, actually,
because I have seen that we've had some things that can happen in town that people get approved for that I just don't understand.
Well, to your point, Kyle, if you remember at the last meeting, I recommended that after this board is comfortable, that you allow the planning and zoning boards to review the law at their next meeting.
Sure.
And then come back to you with their comments, and then it goes out to the public. Because you're absolutely right. Once you draft a law, it's out of your hands.
Right.
They're the boards that have to read it, and they're the boards that have to apply it.
Right. And I guess I've said it before, I say it every time, I'm more conservative approach to some of these things, and then I have people ask for more from those boards. That's not always a popular view, but I feel like that is something that protects the town first and foremost, and then the other boards can weigh in on it, rather than why. But that's too open-ended when I say that, so let's get back to these things here.
So are we keeping R2 out, or are we putting R2 in?
I don't have a problem with eliminating R1, but R2, I think there's plenty of problems in there that probably fit into our criteria, so I'd like to open up that issue.
I mean, let's open it up to R2 and
let the public vote. My suggestion, based on public feedback, certainly could change that's the value of the process.
But the biggest question, right, does it change the character of a neighborhood, and that's what the neighbors in those areas are going to have to ask themselves, do they want in their backyard? Because I can just see someone go, well, I can't shield it. Well, they want it. I know that, but I want to prove it wrong on this. That's how I love it. Prove me wrong.
If we have our law set up with setbacks and the screenings and everything else, that should eliminate any problems as far as, like, say, the neighbor too. I want to start looking at the
neighbor. You're correct.
But if we write the law right and get the screening properly done and the setback properly done, I don't think we'll have to.
No, you're 100% correct. I'm not saying you're not. I sat on the zoning board for 5 years and I watched the law get holes punched in it like crazy because someone showed up with an attorney that, does this for a living. So, and people are afraid to say no. To someone like that. So, but I'm okay with letting the public weigh in.
I thought I spoke up, but
okay.
I have it on the record.
Okay.
That basically are two of all.
And just to address some of the concerns that Council Member Noonan had, I think when we get to the point where we're ready to provide this to the public for public hearing, I think, Councillor, it would be very important that on this draft law, probably more than any other, to assist our boards that we have extensive legislative intent included in that.
Not a doubt.
Okay, that'd be great. So there's not as much ambiguity in what the board meant when we adopted the law.
What did you just say?
Let's legislative intent? You got it? Okay.
It's the reason you're doing it.
Just so I'm clear, R1, RP, and UR are out. Yes.
That's how I'm putting it in right now.
Yes.
And moving on to Tier 1, which is roof mounted, we currently have proposed that roof mounted be available in all zoning districts.
Can I ask one question on that roof mounted? Yes, I can. Building integrated, because that also means siding.
I think that's what building integrated is, but when you go into the definition more clearly in the law, there's also those same criteria. It's designed not to be seen.
Okay.
So it's not like you're going to hang one on the side of your building. We need to have other language that defines what it is.
It's defined in there, and it says a building integrated system may occur within transparent skylight systems, within roofing systems, replacing traditional roofing materials. A combination of photovoltaic building components integrated into any building skylight system and roofing materials. As of right now, it's still on the roof and the skylights. That's how it's defined, and that's the definition from the measure. But we can make that whatever you want it to be.
Well, I know that they're trying to develop it. They haven't already done so. Siding that is, you know, producing solar energy.
And you wouldn't even know that's what it is, essentially. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
It's currently not in the NYSERDA definition or roof definition siding. It's only skylight systems, roofing materials, shading over windows.
Do we need to be addressing it at this point?
I don't.
Not knowing that it's actually available yet. Okay.
Well, in my opinion, no, I think that definition covers it.
Okay.
But one guy.
What's that?
He's only one guy.
Yeah, well, I get it, but I'm just trying to think ahead for, I'm hoping it's not too long in the future, that it will be available.
Yeah.
Well, the laws are made to be changed.
I guess to that point, and just to add a little content on my field, my opinion, I'm not real comfortable designing a law for something that isn't been invented fully yet. That was really my point.
Okay.
All right, so we're at consensus on Tier 1 roof now, and it can be in all zoning districts. All right. So now we'll move on to Tier 3, which is our large-scale ground-mounted arrays. Currently, we discussed allowing them in R5, M1, and the M2 zoned districts. Any thoughts on that?
From the zoning perspective, I have no request to change this.
One of the things I think that we need to consider as a board, how do you handle property owners that are located in the, for instance, the R2 for R3 that have sizable land holdings? Do we allow them in those areas if they meet stringent requirements? Do we leave them out altogether? I know there's a lot of interest
in the R3
right now. That, you know, it's a landowner of several hundred acres, I think.
I think there's a lot fewer of those than the other perspectives, so I think that the mechanisms are available. You know, looking for some variance or PUD would be how we would address those.
So the R5 is essentially the entire ag district. R3 is over here here, over here, moving over south of the area, the interstate interchange, 17N, and it's contiguous to the light industrial areas we have over here. We do know that on a previous proposal that they're looking to get solar down in this area. Right now, there's a lot of landowners that is interested in doing a solar farm in this area over here. And part four is the pink area, which is down along the river and also over here. One of the things, I would like to take into consideration as we move forward with putting together recreational opportunities down along the river. Do we want solar in that area? Do we want to prohibit it in that area? That's something that we should take into consideration too, as part of the conversation.
This particular part of R4 or all of R4? Like, could you make that smaller R4 with another, you change the...
It's the whole district.
Right. Well, so you can't, I learned last time, right, we can't pick and choose parts of the district. It's the whole district or it's not the district. So, but like you said, I know we're discussing all the recreational work that's going to happen down in R4 for the conservation of nature. And I get that the solar production of energy is using nature in a green way, but when you want to go viewing kayaking or hiking, do you want to walk around or through solar panels? Mm-hmm. So, but you can't not put it up there and then put it down here. Mm-hmm. But these guys down here have enough property and land to probably make the requirements out of view, right? So you change the district.
So one of the things that the board should also remember that this is not the be-all, end-all, and that if we ban or prohibit large-scale solar arrays in a particular area, there's still a mechanism that allows a landowner to come before, not the planning board, but the town board, to the planned unit development process. And that actually gives us, the town board, incredible control as part of the approval process that we want to move forward to dictate what we want to see from the applicant if we're going to move forward. In other words, we can require that there be conservation easements. We can require, that they assist us in something recreational related at our park. So by banning a particular zone, that doesn't mean that you couldn't get them in there in extenuating circumstances. So, that's something you should keep in mind when considering what areas you want to include or not include.
I just want to get one clarifying point to make sure that my position is still as I assume it could be. We cannot in the super council. We can't have take R3. We can't have something that said in R3 in tier 1, R5 and 1 and 2 and R3 property owners with greater than 10. I mean, 10 acres. Using a number.
Right.
You want to be the same, you can't deviate within.
No, but the way you do that is you would put the whole district in and craft it such that with the requirements to put the solar arrays in, your space requirements, your height requirements, your setback requirements, that will ultimately rule out any of the other farms. So I'm taking yours and flipping it onto that.
Yeah. So thank you. But, so the reason I'm concerned about R3 not being in was because, unlike R5, there's a lot larger number of smaller properties that are all close to one another. But there are in R3 some properties, one you just mentioned, that certainly I've been very open to talking about right project on their property. So the only leave it out and let them come through the other vehicles are in place if they choose to. Or go with that latter suggestion, put R3 in, and most of the smaller ones. I'd rather let them come through the other vehicle.
I think that's where I am on that, because I think that there aren't a lot of large acreage holdings in the R3, and I would prefer that the board have the opportunity to really scrutinize the project that comes before it, and I think it's in the best interest of the town to have the ability to have some caveats worked into possible approval, which benefits the town globally. And if we allow it in the area, we don't have the ability to ask for certain caveats to be met. That's my
opinion. I don't know. I agree more with Carlos. I can put them in. And then we build our law around to make sure that we get what we want. But you said that there's plenty of places in our area.
Well, I didn't say that. I said there are some large.
There's some large parcels in there that could probably be developed for solar. And put them in, put our laws in place, and put our criteria in place. And, the smaller properties probably wouldn't even be interested because they'll have enough property to go up and stay within our guidelines. But I think it would be more fair to put that in the same for everybody else and let them live by the criteria. Because there are maybe some. You know there's some people up there looking at solar. So I just don't think it's fair just to say no, and then later on we're going to pick and choose landowners which ones that we think that they should have. I don't understand that.
Well, we have that ability on all kinds.
We have that ability. I understand we have the ability. But I'm thinking about fairness to property owners. Let the property owners go, put their project up. If they fit the criteria, let them do it. I mean, we're doing that in our time, we're doing that in our districts. Why would we do it in our time? My thought.
Yeah. I don't want to change this all around by asking this question, but it seems like we're trying to figure out where all these particular tiers are fitting, and then we're listing the districts in which they can be. Is it ever would be better to look at each district and determine what can go in each one, as opposed to, I feel like it's just the opposite way of, like, each district has a different set of rules, as opposed to what we can fit in, like the whole lot, does it fit in the district, or does the district have its own set of criteria? Am I not making any sense when I say that?
As a planning board, I think they hurt you. So that would be a lot of planning. No, I don't know if that would accomplish anything more than you're accomplishing right now.
Okay. I'm just
curious. Because you're still looking, for example, let's play yours out for a second. R4, or R3. So let's say the R3 district, you look at the district and say, what can we fit in the district? You're doing it backwards. You're creating the criteria to fit into the district. So you're going to say, this is what it would mean to have a large-scale solar in just the R3. But then the person next door in R4 has a totally different set of criteria.
Well, if we do that now, what's allowed in those areas? In terms of, what is allowed in R1, R2, R3, R4, outside of solar, obviously, but we have the districts for a reason, because they all have different requirements because of density, most, I would think. So I it was just kind of a thought I had listening to trying to figure out what can we get in, what one of these, what zones these tiers fit in. It's like, we're trying to treat all the zones as equal, and then the tiers is different, because they are. But my thought was maybe do backwards. I don't know. I mean, every zone has a set of requirements now of what you can do. Or I say when I say zoning, you know what I mean? R1, 2, 3, okay. District. So that was just a thought on that. I mean, it's going to be a lot of the same language, I think, that goes in, but it would be more defined as to what could happen in each.
I mean, you can. There's nothing saying you can't do that. That's a different tact. I mean,
sure.
I'm happy to write whatever the board wants. It's legally defendable.
Right. Okay. It's just a thought on that. I mean, because it's if we're trying to treat them all as equal, but then they're clearly not.
Sure, because we're going to have the same criteria for everybody. My idea of what we're trying to do here is trying to see where these large arrays would fit, where they would fit, where they would fit into the landscape, where they would fit logically for the, for the solar companies. And then we'll set up criteria. Yes, you can put them there, but you've got to do this, that, and the other thing. But I think the criteria, I think, in the playing field should be level for everybody who has an opportunity to put something in that it would fit. I think our job here now, my feeling is to set what we're doing right now, set what districts we think these large arrays might fit in. That's what we're looking at right now. And then we're going to go and talk about criteria and stuff like that.
Right.
So I believe that, you know, R3, that's a district where some of these things might fit. So I think they should be considered just as much as R5. Just as much as M1 and 2, because they all would fit in those areas. Some of these areas, they wouldn't fit anywhere. That's why we're keeping them out of there. But I think what we have to do tonight is sit down and say, where do these things fit? And they fit in R5, M1, and 2. They also fit in R3. And then set our criteria up as to what we expect if they do put these things in. How many acres that we do, how many lots we're going to do. But I think that's what we have to do right now, is get to the point of where would these things fit? Where might someone be interested in putting these things in, and if they were fit in those areas? And I think
that's fine. If that's the board consensus, I'm okay with that. I'm just looking at where it seems to grab a difficult time even just figuring that out. So I was looking at it from the perspective of do we, as opposed to having the tier at the top and what they fit in, do we have the zone at the top? But it's the same, it's going to be the same. So
we've hammered out tier 2, we've hammered out tier 1, we're almost through tier 3. We have we've utilized an hour of time, so I guess at this point I would just add if we can wrap up tier 3. My position is at this point in time, and then have the public an opportunity to weigh in to go with R5, M1, and M2 for the large-scale ground-mounted, knowing full well that there's a mechanism that they can get in the other, like R3 and R2. So
tier 3, those are going to be the big ones that could potentially be an actual power-generating plant, essentially. Yes. Right. I just want to... Okay.
Those would be better than megawatts.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So R5 and M2, I think that's what's on here. I'm fine with that.
Norjan, you want R3 in there?
I would like to see R3 in there, and once again, this is an etched in stone, but I'd like to get it in there because I think it's fair. I think it's fair.
So, like an R3, like you said, so that if someone has a project, it's still got to meet all the other requirements in order to be able to be fit. So, as the people are saying, no, I'd like to listen to the other board's thoughts on that. I mean, at some point, we do have to represent every size lot, but at the same time, not everything can fit in every zone. So, things should be here. Because I know we deserve to have some. I don't even know where on that it is that. Actually, I don't even know any proposal name right now, but regardless of, yes, if you said the point, you should hear the rest of the board thinks.
Well, I hear and understand and respect John's position. I am just still struggling with a large number of smaller residential properties. So in that particular case, I'd rather see the ones that come in front of us than R3 come through some of the.
So you mean like through zoning or planning?
PUD.
PUD, gotcha.
Or through some whatever method there is to get a variant.
Why would we do that differently than we reduce like R5 or some of the other ones? Why, what specific reason to treat that zone differently than the other zone? Like, that's what I don't get. I don't get why we would treat more.
I'm actually flexible on it still in my head. I'd love to hear what kind of feedback we get from these residential people, the residents and taxpayers when we go to the public, because it's in those zones, we've got a lot of smaller residential neighborhoods.
Right.
And in these, we're talking about solar fields that are measured in megawatts.
Mm-hmm.
30, 40 acres. 20, 30, 40.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have a consensus for now on that?
Yeah. All right. There's a consensus to go out to the public on that. So it's R5, M1, M2.
Right, so as we wrap up, what would you like us to visit the next counselor, or would you just want comments from the board to be prepared to discuss what we have left?
You mean next tonight? Or
no, next time we'll workshop.
You say nothing.
What's the homework assignment?
Look at 149.97 and 149.98. To see if you are okay with the way you have the criteria that the planning board would have to provide.
Okay.
And then one other thing that I did attach that we should talk about, and we don't have to talk about it now, but I'd like to take a look at the pilot law that I put in there. So right now, the counselor has opted out of providing an exemption. Yes, double negative. So you have to opt out of providing an exemption for taxes for solar farms. And the town has done that. That means that they're taxed. However, one of the things you can do is exempt the properties, and they have to enter into a pilot program with you. And then you determine how much they pay. Many towns are finding that is better for them, for a variety of reasons that I can get into another time. Leah and I spoke about this last week, and it's something that she thinks would be a good idea, and she's the assessor, and I would trust her. Just something I think we should think about, and it would be part of the solar law. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So if we have time next time, I'd like to talk about that.
So those two sections, as well as taxation,
and then if we get through that, we're good to go.
Is that work for everybody?
Yeah, so I just want to be clear. If we get to that, we really shouldn't need anything else, right? I mean, when you say we're good to go, we're ready to get something in out to the public.
Absolutely.
Up to the other boards, and then their feedback and out to the public.
Yes, and obviously look through, because what I did, what you all have in front of you, it may look very colorful from September, and I'll give you an updated one. But you'll notice there are comments saying these three board members said they wanted this, these two more members said they wanted this. Please tell me what to put in. So, I mean, any outliers like that, but I can do it. But there really aren't any except in these two sections.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate the help. And a little bit closer.
Do you
want to
schedule the next meeting now?
We can. We can do it next board meeting. It's to the board. I haven't looked at any possible dates. I need to schedule it and have to not be able to attend.
That's the time.
That's a board. So we're in November.
Hopefully, we'll be back on the 5th for public hearing on the budget.
So we have a public
wants to do them later, I'm going to be doing it remote.
Alright, so we'll have two board members remote, and three of us will be here.
And left my house.
Alright, so 6:30 on November 5th.
Yes.
We wrap this up for the task force, 12 minutes, 10 minutes, that I think I can get home to and actually do it. This is what we're doing.